Morning, we'll continue our reading of Srimad Bhagavatamrita. We're on chapter 6 of part 1, Priyatama, the most beloved. Narada Muni has come to Dwarka, praised Ugrasena. Ugrasena has sent him to Uddhava. Now he has come to Krishna's palace, where Uddhava is always staying. Never goes back to his own house, he's always with Krishna. In his house, and he's in the middle of delineating the glories of Uddhava. Text 15. Purve pade chatanaya kamala sanhadya sankarshanadi sahaja surida shivadya Bhaya Ramadaya Uthat Nupana Murtir Nasyu Prabho Priyatama Yadapikshayaho. No one has ever been as dear to the Lord, neither the Lord's direct sons like Brahma, nor friends like Shiva, nor brothers like Balaram, nor the goddess Rama, or the Lord's other wives, not even his own unique transcendental body is as dear. Commentary, Digdarshini. The original Sankarshan is Sri Balaram, Lord Krishna's brother and constant companion. Narada can dare to say that Uddhava is more dear to Krishna even than Balaram and other supreme persons, because Krishna himself has said this to Uddhava. Nattata me priyatama atmajonir nashankara nacha sankarshano nashrir naivatma cha yathabhavan. My dear Uddhava, neither Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Sankarshan, the goddess of fortune, nor even my own self is as dear to me as you. Bhagavatam 11:14-15. According to the commentary of Srila Sridhar Swami, when Lord Krishna in the Bhagavatam spoke this verse, he meant to say, as dear to me as my devotee. But in the ecstasy of his friendship with Uddhava, he at the last moment switched for bhaktaha, devotee, the word bhavan, you. The Lord's original intention, however, had been to glorify all of his pure devotees. Srila Sanatana Goswami, therefore, earlier in his commentary on Brihad Bhagavatamrita 1.3.84, cited this verse in praise of Prahlad. And now he cites it again to praise Uddhava. So, this is the difference between an ordinary devotee who is repeating the words of his spiritual master and deriving authority from that, and a liberated acharya. The liberated acharyas, they are very confidential servants of Krishna. And therefore, they understand Krishna's mind very intimately. Actually, in principle, we should understand that the more we advance in devotional life, actual devotional life, the more our mind is less absorbed in my own needs and my own thoughts and my own conclusions, and the more our minds are absorbed in the thoughts and the conclusions and the desires of Krishna and Krishna's representatives to me. This is the And it's gradual. It's not necessarily just all of a sudden, at one moment, I'm conditioned, and then at one moment I'm liberated. There's a gradual progress in devotional service. And as one advances in devotional service, and as your focus of attention moves off of yourself and your own needs and your own mental concoctions and your own whatever your feelings are, and moves to the Lord and His devotees and your spiritual master, especially your spiritual master. And the more you can actually understand what the spiritual master wants. I mean, I was very fortunate. When I first came to Krishna consciousness, I came at a time when the first wave of devotees had finished. I was in the second wave of devotees, 1971. You know, 1965 Prabhupada came, devotees started to come in 66, and especially from 67 to 70, there was an influx of devotees. And the first devotees got the rare opportunity to live very, very closely with Srila Prabhupada in the day-to-day life, you know, and be guided directly, personally by him. But by the time I came, Prabhupada had, you know, organized things in a way. The GBC had just been established, and he was more and more calling upon us to relieve him of the management and bring whatever, you know, we needed to know to, you know, the persons that he had trained over the first few years. So I was very fortunate because I understood when I heard this and when I read Prabhupada's own words in his letters to us, this request, I accepted it immediately, full. I didn't question it. I didn't, you know, try to approach Prabhupada with my questions and this and that. I was satisfied. And the reason I was satisfied was because I happened to join in a place where Jayananda Prabhu was located. And Jayananda Prabhu, you may have heard about him, he was very, very enriched devotee in Krishna consciousness. And he understood Srila Prabhupada's mind very well on many things. And he would do what Srila Prabhupada wanted him to do without being asked. And Prabhupada, therefore, was always very fond of Jayananda. I remember one time I was in the room. It was after Rath Yatra. And this was 1974. Rath Yatra had become very big. At first it was just a little small thing. But then it became very big. And this year, maybe 10, 15,000 people came, which in America is a big thing for a Hare Krishna festival. That's a big turnout. It was in the park. Anyway, so Jayananda, you may have heard this, but Jayananda used to single-handedly, practically, he would put the whole festival on. I mean, he would build the cart, he would get the help, he would take care of the help. You know, they used to build the cart in a vacant lot, some distance from the temple, and the devotees would even live there, and Jayananda would come and bring them prasadam and give them classes and kirtan just to make sure they were fixed in their service. Like that, Jayananda gradually built up the Rath Yatra festival to a very wonderful degree because he was, you know, an advanced devotee, and he didn't consider his own comfort or his own situation or place or whatever. He was only thinking about what Prabhupada wanted, and specifically in Rath Yatra, about Rath Yatra. And the second good fortune I had was to come under the guidance and friendship of Tamal Krishna Maharaj, who probably had as much personal training for Srila Prabhupada than anybody did. I'll tell you something, and I don't think you may not know this. There are disciples of Tamal Krishna Maharaj here in the room. You may not know this, but at one point, Sridhar Maharaj, Prabhupada approached Sridhar Maharaj to request his assistance to observe Tamal Krishna Maharaj carefully, to see if he thought Tamal Krishna Maharaj could become the next Acharya of our movement. Did you know that? Yes. I heard this from Prem Kishore, who was in the room at the time, and was told by also by Sridhar Maharaj, because he was serving Sridhar Maharaj for a year as his personal servant. So, I mean, when I heard it, I was a little shocked, but I wasn't so shocked, because Prabhupada didn't decide to have an acharya. He decided to have a GBC, like following in Bhakti Sanat. But at one point in time, he was considering what would be the best thing to do, like that. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj was at least one of the persons that he considered to be that confidential, that could be considered for that, you know, that position. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj is an example, is a very good example of someone who would, he was so submissive to Prabhupada that he and sensitive, spiritually aware, that he would become aware of what Prabhupada would wanted, and he would do that without being asked. Same as Jayananda. So I was very lucky. I got those two great devotees association right from the beginning of my Krishna consciousness, and I got trained by them, you know. So I'm always trying to pass on this benefit to the newer devotees that come, you know, especially like you come from a culture where you know many things about Krishna consciousness already, especially the external details and rituals and what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do. But there's a mentality, you know, that Srila Prabhupada had towards his spiritual master, and that he gave to us. He actually gave us this mentality, a very enriched spiritual service attitude and submissive attitude towards the spiritual master. And he stressed it so much. I mean, in Gaudiya Math, they don't have daily Guru Puja to Prabhupada like we do. Because he understood that, you know, the faith in authority, the faith in spiritual master, it has come down now in Kali Yuga, as we become more, you know, convinced about ourselves, how qualified we are. That automatically, you know, reduces our ability to think of how qualified our spiritual master is, or people who are actually senior to us are. And therefore we don't think to approach them submissively to learn how to do things and how to think and all these things. So, you know, Uddhava is here being praised by Narada as being so dear to Krishna that Krishna even says to him personally, this is a very rare thing. This is a very rare thing that Krishna will say to someone, you're so dear to me, you're more dear to me than my own body. You're more dear to me than myself. Everybody, you know, it's natural. You're the most dear person to you, you know, because otherwise, you know, how could you keep all this together? How could you make sure that you get the food in the stomach and take your, you know, do everything you have to do? So to say that another person is more dear to you than your own self, than your own body, than your own life, this is the most intimate, you know, praise you can give another person, actually. You know, Uddhava, he knew Krishna's mind so well, and Krishna appreciated it so much, that he would select Uddhava to do the most intimate things for him, and ask the most intimate advice, when he really needed, like, you know, very refined and very important, strong advice about what to do if a situation was very complex. He would ask Uddhava, and Uddhava would always give him the best advice, you know. Uddhava knew how much Krishna wanted to go back to Vrindavan, and he knew also how difficult it was for Krishna to make that decision, because, you know, Krishna's enemies were very powerful, and they were very much watching, you know. And this is the main reason why Krishna came out of Vrindavan, actually, because he didn't want to endanger the devotees, because they're so dear to him. So he chose to make his headquarters in Mathura and then Dwarka as he proceeded to clean the earth and do all of his mission, because these are dangerous type of things, And he, you know, the Vrajvasis, they're even more dear to him than Uddhava, so naturally he wouldn't want to put them into harm's way. He would not want to put them into danger. You see? So Uddhava would advise Krishna in different ways. And one time he advised him to go to Yudhishthira and attend the Rajasuya sacrifice and help him to do that. And one of the things he had to do to help him do that was to eliminate Jarasandha, because you can't perform the Rajasuya sacrifice unless you've subdued all the opposing kings on the earth. There can be no opposition. Can you imagine in India no opposition? I mean, you can't even, right? You can't even conceive of now having no opposition. You can't even, it does. But then, in the Vedic culture, the person who was the Samaraj, the person who was the king of the earth, he had to do the Rajasuya sacrifice, which was the most exalted sacrifice. And in order to do that, he had to subdue all the other kings. So he, you know, he would send a horse, challenge horse, and either the horse would come back with a note saying, yes, we agree, and then they'd come and give tribute to the king. Or, you know, the horse wouldn't come back. And then you would know, oh, we've got a fight on our hands. And they would go, have a fight, and then the king would eventually, when all of the obstacles were cleared. But Jarasandha was very powerful. Jarasandha was reputed to have the same strength as Bhima. 10,000 elephants. Imagine having the body of strength of 10,000 elephants. I mean, can't even imagine. So, you know, Uddhava was thinking, yes, well, you know, if he goes there and if he does these things, then he'll be close to Vrindavan. And, you know, he'll be able to find a way. You know, so like that, Uddhava was very confidential with Krishna, and if we want to follow in the footsteps of the great devotees, then we will do this. You know, I mean, we can't have that relationship with Krishna because, you know, we're not so close to Krishna, but we can have that relationship with each other, with our spiritual master. We can try to develop this type of confidential relationship. Text 16 to 18. Bhagavat vachanan yeva patitani purantana tasya so bhagya sanduha mahimnam vyanchakanyalam tasmin prasada jatani shri krishnasya bhutanyapi jagat vilakshanan yadya Gitani Yadupungamai Parvishya Karna Dwarena Mamakramya Ridalayam Madiyam Sakalam Daya Dhanam Luntantiha Hataha. The Supreme Lord's own words, disclosed in the Puranas, tell the abounding glories of Uddhava's good fortune. Those words, born of Krishna's causeless mercy, are unlike any others heard in this world. The Yadava heroes now tell those words in song. Alas, when those words enter the home of my heart through the gateway of the ears, they steal all my wealth of sobriety. Commentary, Digdarshini. Narada is an authorized acharya of the Vaishnava Sampradaya. For him, therefore, the highest evidence by which to prove anything is the expressed opinion of the personality of Godhead and the effect of the Lord's words on the thought and behavior of his devotees. In regard to Uddhava, Krishna has stated his opinion clearly. Ahaitat paramam guyam shinvato yadunandana sugopyam abhibhakshami Twam me britya suritsaka. My dear Uddhava, O beloved of the Yadu dynasty, because you are my servant, well-wisher, and friend, I shall now speak to you the most confidential knowledge. Please hear as I explain these great mysteries to you. Bhagavatam 11:49. Nodabo nvapi manunyo yadgunair narditak prabhu ato mat vayunam lokam grahayan itatishtitu. Uddhava is not inferior to me in any way, because he is never affected by the modes of material nature. Therefore, he may remain in this world to disseminate specific knowledge of the personality of Godhead. Bhagavatam 3:4:31. Professional thieves in ancient India were proficient in using narcotic powders to put unsuspecting householders into a stupor so that their houses could be easily robbed. We can read the details of these methods in minor literary works such as Dandi's Dasha Kumara Charita. Narada alludes to such criminal skills in describing the looting of his own heart by the glories of Uddhava. So, when someone is so attractive by devotional service, the effect of that person's association on your heart is similar to the effect of the association of Krishna. This is the secret of how to advance in devotional service. This is the secret. But in order to be influenced by such a devotee, or even to be influenced by Krishna for that matter, one's consciousness has to be in a certain state. Conditioned souls, when you grow up, first of all, you get born, and as soon as you come out, everybody starts going, oh, kuchi 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 ku, kuchi kuchi ku, you know. Oh, look, Ethan. And you get all the attention wherever you go, right? Walking down the street with a baby, everybody comes over, oh, look, look. So you can imagine, this baby's, we're sitting there, you know, getting all this attention. Oh, you're so wonderful. You're so wonderful. Look how cute, how this, how that. And we're just thinking, yes, but this must be... So then when we grow up, right, after having heard this for the whole first part of our lives, we think we're just the... They have a saying in America, you may not... you probably have a similar saying, and you can tell me. But we say that, you know, he thinks he's the cat's pajamas. Pajamas are what you wear at night. Cats don't wear anything at night. So when somebody says he thinks he's the cat's pajamas, that means he thinks he's very special. So this is conditioned life. We're conditioned into thinking we're very special. It doesn't make any difference what our position is, whether we're in a Brahmin family or a peon family. We're treated by our parents and our near relatives when we first grow up, especially in the Vedic culture, which is more enriched and more loving, and we just become, you know, intoxicated. Frankly, we become intoxicated, you know. So as long as we're in that state of delusion, this puts us into delusion. We're thinking we're so special, everyone should pay attention to me, and everyone should respond and give me all facilities and be sensitive to my feelings. Meanwhile, we don't even see the other person's feelings. We got no idea what to say or to do to make the other people feel comfortable. So as long as you're in that consciousness, You can't actually be affected positively by another person's consciousness. Even Krishna's association cannot have the desired effect on you. So, you know, we hear a lot about who's the authoritative, who's bona fide, who's authorized, who's the real guru, who's the Mahabhagavat, who's the Nitya Leela, da 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 da, this and that, the other thing. But what we forget, is that even if you have the most exalted spiritual master in the universe, if you yourself are all wound up in your own, you know, things, you won't be able to be affected. Therefore, Srila Sanatana Goswami is saying here, in this purport, Uddhava is so fortunate, and the reason we know that is because we're hearing it from Narada Muni. And Narada Muni is an authorized acharya. He's not an ordinary person. When he speaks, when he associates, the effect on the hearts of those who are very qualified is so profound that he's qualified to be the spiritual master of Vyasadeva. Who is who? Krishna. He's incarnation of Krishna. Narada Muni is so qualified that he can be the spiritual master of Vyasadeva. And even give Vyasadeva that good advice, remember? When Vyasadeva was a little confused because he had compiled all the Vedic literatures and Vedanta Sutra and he still wasn't satisfied. Then Narada came to him and says, it's obvious. You haven't glorified Krishna exclusively. You've mixed his glorification with all these other things. So you need to glorify Krishna exclusively. Do that and then you'll be satisfied. And then the result was Srimad Bhagavatam. So why is Narada a great acharya? Here it's described by Sanatana Goswami. Because for him, the highest evidence by which to prove anything is the expressed opinion of the personality of Godhead and the effect of the Lord's words on the thought and behavior of his devotees. So, in the verses that are being quoted by Sanatana Goswami, there's one point, I don't have so much more time, but there's one point that's very, very interesting here. That when Krishna left, you know, Uddhava was so intimate with Krishna that he knew he was going to leave. Right? And Krishna was off by himself in the forest and he had sent Uddhava, you know, to the Himalayas, sent him somewhere. Anyway, Uddhava, you know, realized. And he found Krishna out. He actually found where Krishna was in the forest. And he saw that Krishna was preparing to leave. And Krishna was very touched. Because, you know, he couldn't even do this, you know, hiding from Uddhava. Right? So he felt very obliged. And he arranged for Maitreya to come there at the same time. Anyway, that's a whole other issue. I won't go into that. But the point I'm making is that why did he... And then he told Uddhava, you have to stay here. I'm taking everybody back, you know, but you have to stay. You can imagine, Uddhava is so attached to Krishna, he can practically not live without Krishna. He looks like Krishna, he wears Krishna's clothes. He has to eat Krishna's plate of food right off the plate, otherwise he can't live. And now Krishna is going to leave. Imagine how Uddhava is feeling. He can barely think. But then what? Then the effect of Krishna's association. He was so submissive to Krishna that even though he would rather die than be without Krishna, he agreed to stay when Krishna left. Completely selfless. And then Krishna revealed, you know, why? He said, because, you know, I sent you to Vrindavan. And you know why I sent you to Vrindavan. not just to pacify the gopis, which is main thing, major thing, but I sent so that you could see their devotion, so that you could find out about the most intimate love for me. You notice that he didn't give the most intimate love for him directly. He had to send him to the gopis who had that intimate love. And then Uddhava, and only Uddhava could understand. Therefore it says here, you can tell how intimate a devotee is with Krishna because of the influence and the effect that their words and their association have on you. So the gopis' association had such an effect on Uddhava that he understood Braj Bhakti. And so he kept Uddhava on the earth after he left, specifically so that he could go to one place. Do you know where that place is? He sent him specifically to the one place where Krishna didn't go. Krishna went all over India, and he interacted and satisfied everybody's desire. He was always going to this mela, or this meeting, or this family thing, gathering, and he was satisfying everyone's desires. But there's one place he didn't go. Maharaj knows already. You know? Badrinath. See, these devotees in Badrinath were very, very elevated and very qualified, but Krishna didn't go there. So Krishna couldn't just send anybody. He only could send someone who knew something more than they did, and there's only one thing they didn't know. Only one thing they didn't know. Braj Bhakti, the science of devotional service as practiced by the Brajvasis. That's how intimate Uddhava was to Krishna. And that's why Krishna says that you're more dear to me than even myself, because he sent him to do something that even Krishna wouldn't do, didn't do. So they may say, some authorities in India may say, and they are very exalted authorities in India, Prabhupada always acknowledged that, but they may try to put themselves, you know, in the same position or category as Srila Prabhupada. But Srila Prabhupada, you know, he did something that nobody else could do. He once made a joke. You know, one devotee asked him, Srila Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya was Manmo Maha Avadanavitaya, the most munificent incarnation of God. He could have spread the movement all over the world. He predicted that would happen. Why didn't Lord Chaitanya do that? Why has it taken so long? 500 years. Why has it taken so long for someone to go, you know, to think, to understand the Lord's mind? Prabhupada looked, he smiled, and he said, he left it for me. Ki jai. So, this is not an ordinary thing. To know the mind of the spiritual master to that degree, to that extent, is not an ordinary thing. So if anybody ever tries to tell you that this guru or that guru or this acharya, that acharya is in any way the same category as Srila Prabhupada, you should know for a fact, not based on sentiment, just because we love Prabhupada, but based on these deep understandings of the more intimate knowledge of Krishna Bhakti, just how dear Srila Prabhupada was to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna, Radha and Krishna. So therefore, the best thing to do is to follow in his footsteps. When you meet somebody who actually is in love with Prabhupada, you'll see that their lives are absorbed in Prabhupada. They're always thinking about Prabhupada. They look like Prabhupada. They follow they do things in the way that Prabhupada did things. Even if it's not exactly like, you know, the local, you know, orthodox Vaishnavas do things. You know, now we're in Chaturmasya, no. Devotees, even Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, grew his beard for, and those who are in his line, many of them do that, they grow their beard for Chaturmasya. But Prabhupada didn't do it. And therefore, those who were very, very intimate followers of Prabhupada, they didn't do it. They didn't do these kinds of things. But they took the mission. They took the heart. They took what Prabhupada wanted to be done, and they did it. As Prabhupada did it for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And the effect, because of the intimacy of that relationship, the effect that they have on others' hearts, you know, is profound. Profound. And therefore, when Prabhupada went out to spread Krishna consciousness, even though some of his godbrothers had gone out before, the effect was like completely different. Completely different. So the message is, don't be too attached, you know, to things that may appear to be orthodox in some ways. You know, be attached to Srila Prabhupada. Be attached to his way of doing things. Listen to his teachings carefully. You want to go to the Tika of Vishwanath Chakravarti, don't go there. Don't try to go there until you have assimilated the Bhaktivedanta purports, especially of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because Prabhupada told us directly that the purports to Chaitanya Charitamrita were his transcendental ecstasies. The reciprocation that he was getting from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are contained in the purports, especially all his books, but especially the purports of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Then you will understand what to do. And then you will be able to give up selfishness, envy, pride, thinking that you know better than someone else who's actually much more qualified than you. Then you can be submissive. Without knowing that, without tasting that level of submissiveness, you cannot be affected by even the greatest devotee of the Lord, or to speak of Krishna himself. So this is the glories of Uddhava. He was willing to, the ultimate sacrifice, he stayed back. When Krishna went, he stayed back alone. Prabhupada went alone to the West. He didn't go with a big following and, you know, so many sponsors and, you know, institution behind him. He went alone, just Prabhupada, into the bowels of the Kali Yuga. You all cannot realize, if you've not been there to New York, you cannot imagine how degraded it is. Honestly, you cannot imagine. Even as degraded as India is now, it has, you know, who knows how many years to catch up to New York, how degraded it is. And Prabhupada was able to go into that environment, learn just by looking exactly what to say, exactly what to do, in order to convince the most rebellious persons, you know, and to convince us and affect our hearts in such a way as we would also become his instruments. Don't think for a second that anybody can do that. Don't think for a second that any of the arguments that the Gaudiya Math or anybody else gives is true for a moment. He was a good manager and therefore he could do, but the, you know, Brahmana sannyasis, they couldn't do because they didn't know how to, they weren't so worldly. Then all these mundane thoughts that minimize Srila Prabhupada and put him into a relative position with anybody else, they should be rejected like we say in America, a hot potato. Somebody throws you a hot potato, what do you do? I mean, hot means right off the fire. I mean, it's going to burn your hands. Hot potato. You get the hot potato, immediately it goes. You don't keep it for a second, because if you keep it, it'll burn you. Any thought that you hear that relativizes Srila Prabhupada in relationship to anyone else, even in our context, if you hear a thought that minimizes or relativizes the authorities of a place, you should drop it like a hot potato. And inside your mind, if it comes inside your mind, you drop it like a hot potato. Because if you hold on to it, if you dwell there, you will get burned. Sure. 100%. Okay, I've gone too long. See, the reason it's going so long, and just when I get in right where we need to be to talk more to get effect, you know, it's because the doors are opening too late. Like today I noticed it was like 9:40 or 7:40. Scheduled for 7:15. Now they've made the adjustment, right? And now it's later. So I don't accept. It has to be brought to 7:15. Then we can have a little more extended class and everybody can be happy and we can still, you know, do our duties and keep in our schedule. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Shri Brihad Bhagavatamrita ki. Srila Sanatan Goswami Prabhupada ki. Gopremanandi Hari Hari Bo.